Good evening. Could you turn to Philippians 4? Dear Father in Heaven, I want to thank you for this day and this opportunity you've given me to present your word. Thank you for Shannon Hills and all it means to me. Help me to present what you've laid on my heart in a clear and direct manner, and let it not be me speaking, but you speaking through me. Bless the time that we have left together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If I remember correctly, the last time I was up here was about a year ago, right before I went to Emmaus. Well, that year went by. I graduated from the one-year program, and I got my Bible certificate, so everything went good. And then I couldn't help but noticing this year, I came back, and they put me in the auditorium instead of in there. So maybe if I come back next year, I'll make it on the stage. But tonight I want to talk about peace. It's something that's been on my heart for the past few weeks and because of recent events. And in Philippians 4:7 it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, the definition of peace can mean many things. It can mean a non-warring condition of a nation. It can mean a state of harmony between two people. But when I looked up peace to get a definition, what I was really thinking of was the idiom at peace. And that means in a state or relationship of non-belligerence, untroubled, tranquil, content, or it can mean deceased. And the one that I was really thinking of was deceased because of my grandpa just passing. It's kind of just been on my mind. And I was thinking about at peace. And it struck me how accurate at peace means. That idiom, at peace, is. But only in one sense. There's two groups of people in this world. There are believers and there are non-believers. For the believer, when you die and are at peace, is very much accurate. You're with the Lord, you're in heaven, and everything is way better than it was here on the earth. For the non-believer, it is quite opposite. It is not accurate at all. It is actually the opposite. You are in a living hell. You are away from God, you're separated from Him, nothing is as it should be. And it just struck me how accurate that was, and how much of a contrast it is, though, even though most people don't think about it. And specifically, when I thought of at peace, this verse struck me because it talked about the peace of God. Now, I looked for a definition of the peace of God, either in the Bible or in commentaries or Bible dictionaries, and I couldn't really find one. So, me with my Bible school knowledge came up with a definition. The comfort and knowledge that is given to a Christian by God during times of trials and tribulation that produces an inner calm. That's my definition for the peace of God. Now, this might seem like a simple question or unnecessary, but where does the peace of God come from? Well, in 1 Corinthians, and I'll just turn to it and read it, 14:33, it says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." So, the peace of God comes from God. Big surprise. And it comforted me when I read this to know that one of God's attributes was peace. Not just His love and His judgment and His devotion to everybody, but peace. Really an inner calm peace. And I began thinking after that of situations that would require peace. And I thought of situations where we were in anger, when someone is in sadness, when someone is in fear, doubt, worry. Any of those require a sense of peace to overcome them. You don't need a sense of peace when everything is going fine, when everything is going good. And in those trials and tribulations, as we like to label them, a lot of things can happen. You can begin to doubt salvation, God, yourself. And that's where the peace of God comes from. And why we would, and specifically, going away to college has shown me these type of instances. Not necessarily in my life, although there has been some personally from this list. But going away to college was a big deal because it led me to meet a bunch of new people. I have a great core group of friends at home. I love them to death. But I met a lot of new people that I shared a lot of new experiences with and that shared a lot of new experiences with me from their life. And it showed me how much God works and gave me a much bigger picture of how big He is because other people have gone through so much more than I have. And it made me think that if God is big enough to handle their problems, then God is big enough to handle mine. Because mine are not all that significant when it comes to what other people are facing, whether it be missionaries such as Josh and Danielle over in China, where they could be sent back to the U.S., missionaries in the Middle East and other parts that can die, or just people at home that are going through rough, rough family times and or just personal issues. And I didn't feel comfortable sharing from a friend, so the one that example I drew of for the reason that I would need the peace of God was the one that was most recent to me and that led to me being led to speak on the peace of God, and it was when my grandfather died. It was a few weeks ago. We were having Testimony Sunday, and I was fully prepared that morning to share up and speak on a passage about complaining when my grandfather had to go to the hospital that night. Dad was taking him to the hospital, and he told me, he said, Pawpaw, as he's affectionately known between the family, is having some stomach problems with medicine. So we're just going to take him in. It's just a little checkup. His arm's broken, but we're just going to let him see how his stomach is. So they took him in, and me and Dane just went about, went to church and did everything normal. And then later that night, I got a call from my mom. Well, I'm sorry, let me back up. And then during at testimony time, I shared from Philippians 4. God put it on my heart as I was driving there that I should share that. He gave me this sense that everything was going to be okay because I was getting worried about my grandpa because I just had this weird feeling that something was going to happen. And I just put it away as this nervousness because he's going to the hospital. But because of those feelings, God gave me this sense of peace and of rest that whatever happens is going to be okay. And then, so I shared from there, and then I get a call from my mom that he's doing much worse. So I come home late that night, and we go to the hospital with all my family, and we end up staying till about 2:30, and we come home, and Dad had told me the night before he could pass away that night. And that was kind of shock. It was like, what? This isn't supposed to happen. But I went home anyway because there's nothing I could do about it. So I went home, and Dad ended up coming home later. And then in the morning, he got up and was driving to the hospital, and I didn't see him leave. But I got up and went and found Mom, and she said, yeah, he went to the hospital. So I went and took a shower. And I got out about 10 minutes later, and Mom called me back up to the house, and she told me that he had passed away in that 10 minutes that I was taking a shower. And it just hit me that he was gone. And it didn't hit me fully, but I knew that he was gone and that I wouldn't see him again and that things would just be different. And right then, I was reminded of what I had shared that Sunday night and why God had led me to share it. And it just was overwhelming how well of a planner and how helpful God is when we have times and tribulations and troubles, that He knows when things are going to happen and He knows why things are going to happen. And He led me to share that, knowing that I was going to have to live it out the next morning. I've never had to do that. I've never had to tell someone, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe this, and then the next day something arise that I got to stand up and be like, yeah, I really believe this. And it was an eye-opener for me just having to live that out. But the fact that I did and that God gave me that strength and that peace to live it out. And it just made me think of how big God is again. But the most vital question now that we've gone through where it comes from and when we need it, is how do we get it? Because the peace of God is good. It's perfect. But if we can't get it as Christians, then what's the point of it being there, so to speak? Because without it, life is going to be much harder. So as I was preparing for the message, I came up with a short list of things that I've used in my life to ask God for help, or that God has used to give me help and that sense of peace. The chief on my list was prayer, and it honestly is the biggest thing in my life. I can get away from reading my Bible just out of habit, bad habit, because I get caught up in school, I'll be doing homework all the time, I'll go to bed late, and I forget. But prayer is something that I can do without anything else. I don't need a Bible, I don't have to have it with me, I don't need anything, I can be anywhere, and I can talk to God. So prayer was the most important thing that I could think of that gives me that sense of peace. Next would be the Bible, though, because when you pray, you're waiting for God to give you that answer. And usually it's through the Bible. Sometimes it's directly through a little voice that I sometimes hear in my head. That might just be I'm crazy, but I like to think not so much. But the Bible is God's word that he's already given us. So we do need to pray as we're reading it, but it's something that God can reveal things to us in a much quicker fashion than if we're spending hours and hours of prayer. But along with that, this isn't necessarily a thing, it's an action. Third on my list was being in tune with the Lord. This is the most difficult one because it requires diligence, it requires continuous action. And it requires faithfulness. You have to be willing to spend time talking to him through prayer. You have to be willing to spend time listening to him by reading his Bible. You have to be willing to spend time with your family, the brothers and sisters in Christ. You have to be willing to do a lot of things. And so this one was the hardest for me to grasp, but I thought also it was probably the most important, because even with prayer and the Bible, if I'm way off the path, I'm going to read it and gloss right over it. Or I'm going to pray and just hang up the phone. I'm not going to listen to what he's telling me. So being in tune with the Lord was the biggest one for me. Because it isn't a thing. Prayer's a thing. The Bible's a thing. But being in tune was an action that I had to do in response to God and the grace that he's giving me. And lastly, the thing that I was most struck with was, as I said before, your family, the brothers and sisters in Christ. Throughout the years, I've had the most gracious support and love that from Shannon Hills, from y'all. As I said last year when I was leaving, this was one of the biggest places in my life. I pretty much grew up here. This is like a second home. And that is another thing that is really important, is the fellowship, the encouragement that the brothers and sisters give each other without even knowing it. Half the time, I won't even tell people that I'm going through something, but God will lead someone to say something to me, totally unrelated, they have no idea. But it just gives me this sense that God is saying, we're still here, I'm still here, and I'm going to help you. And it gives you that sense of peace. I feel like I sound redundant, keep saying peace, but that is what I'm speaking on. So he gives us that sense of peace through encouragement from other people, whether they know your situation or not. But we have to be willing to listen to them. We can't shut out people. We can't go alone when things are bothering us. That is one of the biggest temptations I have. I like to do things for myself. I like to fix things. When I was working at the hardware store and we'd have a project, I would always go to the back room versus working on the floor. I just like to work in the back, get the job done, go on to the next job. But you can't do that with a spiritual problem. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it alone. Salvation is a key example of that. You can't make it to heaven on your own. And as a closing, I wanted to say thank you to all of y'all for the love and support that we've had like Dad said, in this situation, for the love and support that y'all have given me as I went to Emmaus for a year. It was tough being away for a year, and it'll be tough going back for three. But y'all really, I could feel prayer when I needed it, and y'all are always here when I need someone to talk to. Whenever I come home, Shan Hills is one of the first places I can go if I have a problem. Anyone here is willing to help. And it just means a whole lot to know that you have a family outside of your own family that you can go to for anything. And I just really wanted to thank y'all for that. And I'll close in prayer now. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us in our lives. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that you give us to test our faith and to prove that we are your sons and daughters. Give us strength as we go through these. Give us that peace that you let on my heart to speak on. Just help us to know that we're not alone as we face these trials and tribulations. Give us your grace that you give us every day, but with your grace, help us to be able to use it in a responsible way and to just really be a witness to everyone else out in the world, and be a shining light for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.